What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, you know, we're leading these days up to Halloween, and so much of the secularization. After Christmas, this is the largest commercial Halloween. So much money is spent on mass, not that you want to interfere with children or adults and the joy and happiness they could have, but it's really a sad thing to know that it is All Hallows' Eve. That's where the word came from. Mm-hmm. That originally was a holiday for the holiness of God's people. All Hallows was All Saints' Day. And then it was followed by the Souls, All Souls' Day. And in Catholic culture and in our world and the calendar and civilization around us at one time, it had a very deep spiritual significance. And I am afraid that the children and the people today have missed that. And that when they dressed up in costumes, it was in order to have the costumes of the saints and the angels, and then they would put on these saints costumes or angels. And it was a fun time and a wonderful time for children to experience their faith. But it has completely... The other thing I think that is on my mind is around this time, they do show all these scary... It seems to have been taken not only and brought into a secularized and a commercialized time, but it's also into darkness, you know, Frankenstein and witches and darkness and The Exorcist is being shown, and it's all this dark, sinister way of looking at spirits and ghosts and goblins, and as if God had nothing to do with that. And so today, the marvelous teaching today that's on my mind as I am going to teach about, there's this marvelous teaching in Luke's gospel that I would like to start with, and that is Jesus teaching us about not the church, but the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is, how is he going to teach us? And so in St. Luke's gospel, there are two parables that Jesus gives us regarding the kingdom of God. And so we read in Luke's gospel, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a person took and planted in the garden. When it was full grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." So what is Jesus describing here? Is he describing the church? No, I would like to make a distinction. No, this is not the church. This is something other. And then he goes on and he wants to describe it. He's trying to show us what is the kingdom of God like. Then he says, and it's like I want to hit, because it's an agricultural society. So as he's talking to a lot of farmers, they know what it is to put a seed and to have that seed grow. But he's also talking to women. And he says, again, that he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." You know, a woman would know that, how she takes yeast and she has this dough that's made from wheat, and now she's going to make bread. But the yeast leavened, it fills in the whole batch of. And so, what is that work like? It's hidden. It's really not seen. So, the kingdom of God, Saint Augustine says, you know, is that the church? Is that what the church is doing? No. Let me try and draw a distinction here that I think is important. He says there are members in the church that don't belong to the kingdom of God. And there are members of the kingdom of God that don't belong to the church. What we see in the kingdom of God is a spirit. This spirit that gives this life to the seed so that it has power in it. It may seem small and insignificant, but it has an inner power to it. The kingdom of God is like this, like this seed. It's like this yeast. It gives energy and life and power to what's around it. Now, I really believe that somebody like Martin Luther King Jr. was not a member of our church, but he was a member of the kingdom of God. He was like this power that drew people, the kingdom of God. What happened? He got killed. He got killed. There is, you know, what is in him? There are members of the church that may not be members of the kingdom of God. And there are members of the kingdom of God who may not be members of the church. I believe he's one of them. Now, can you think also of people who are in the church? I think it's very important to say not all the members of the church are members of the kingdom of God, because that spirit may not be in them. They belong to the church, but the kingdom of God, Jesus is drawing a distinction here, and he wants to teach us that, do you want to be a member of the kingdom of God? When we pray the Our Father, it's very interesting how Jesus asked us to pray in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's the kingdom. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, in heaven, when we see heaven, it's Jesus with the saints and the angels glorifying the Father, because Jesus, in going to heaven, he ascended into heaven, and the kingdom of God is in heaven. And that same kingdom, because of baptism, is on earth. But not all those who are baptized are in the kingdom. Now, this is a very powerful teaching. How can the church get to be the way it is today? You know, in the history of the church, we had people. You know, Judas was a member of the church, but he wasn't a member of the kingdom. There was another spirit in him. And while Jesus is teaching Judas, as well as the other 12 and the 72, and he's going to establish this kingdom, that's what Jesus was talking about in that 13th chapter of Luke's gospel. But he's also talking to us today about it. So what happened there? Well, then you get a man in the history of the church. They're Catholics. They're members of the church. A cardinal, Cardinal Wolsey. You know, when you hear him on his deathbed saying, "If only I had served God as well as I had served the king, I wouldn't be dying here in this tower." A man who is a member of the church, and he wasn't really, I know, is he in hell? I don't know. But he certainly wasn't a member here on earth, as far as we could see, a member of the kingdom of God. But he was a Catholic and he was a cardinal. The same was true of Cardinal Richelieu. The same was true of Napoleon. Napoleon, who bled France dry with his madness. the little man's complex who wanted to accomplish something. And here you are in history. He's known as a Catholic. Bring me any woman. I don't care. And the madness of his dreams, bringing chaos and confusion to the world. Remember the church and France, the glory of the church. And here we are. We look at the history here. Now, do we have a church? You know, just think of your own church. Are all the members of my parish, Father, Bishop, are all the members of my diocese? They're in the church. They're baptized. Are they and do they belong to the kingdom of God? I really had a beautiful experience yesterday that I'd like to share. And it was like I could see something with regard to this kingdom of God in the church. A couple who had adopted 19 children. I know them, John and Nancy Kurtz. They themselves were unable to have children. And so they began to adopt children some years ago. And all of the children that they adopted had special needs. They began with one and two and three, and then they began, there was known. And now they actually have adopted 19 children, all of whom have special needs. They come from Russia, orphanages in Russia. They come from Mexico. They come from all over Central America and the world. These are children. And so yesterday I met with them. Some priest, and they were very disappointed with this priest, invited some woman to come and pray with them. And actually, the father was telling me it turned out to be a witch and caused chaos in their home. And he wanted me, because I'm known to be an exorcist, to pray with them and over them. The power that I have is to bring peace and healing to this family. And so I wasn't going to have all of them here at the villa, but I went to St. Gabriel's Monastery. It's the Passionist Sisters. They invited us into their chapel. And if there was going to be any kind of acting out or manifestation, usually I never allow manifestation by Satan, but I really wanted, since they were all baptized at one time, to have the Mass. And I began with the sprinkling of the water, the holy water that God gave us to remind us of baptism. You know, when you go into your church, we all put our hand in the holy water font to remind us of our baptism. That's what that is. And there is this beautiful prayer at the beginning of Mass, which I prayed with them. After we made the sign of the cross and said the opening prayer, I took, as instead of the penitential rite, the blessing of the water that reminds us of our baptism. And then I blessed salt, which is a powerful tool against Satan and to bring healing. And then I went to each individual and I splashed them actually with holy water. And all of us that were there, the 19 children, and here are their names. They were all baptized. John and Nancy had these children: Jose, Joseph, David, Martha, Dominic, Nina, Natalie, Margaret, Giovanna, Michael, PJ, Natalie, Martin, Alex, Ariana, Gianna, Marcia, Nikki, George, Linlet, and each one of them, I just put the water on, plus on John and Nancy and any of the sisters that were there, and the priest, there was a priest there from Africa with them. And we had the beginning of the Eucharist. And I read yesterday's reading because it was the feast of St. Jude and St. Simon. I read, there were powerful texts about the Spirit, which I gave yesterday, and also the powerful text from the Mass that we had yesterday. Then I wanted them to renew their baptismal vows. And I have here what I said to them, and this is what we do when we're baptized. And so as an opening for my homily, I talked about John and Nancy not being their father. Now here, we could never come together in the church by blood. They were from different races. They were black, they were oriental, they were white. They were all from different races, a beautiful children of God. And they were adopted by John and Nancy. But God was their real father. And though although they had been born into the world, some through rape, some through their parents tried to abort them, some in various ways that how they came into the world, some abused, all of them in different ways winding up to be adopted by John. But God wanted them. They were God's children in this world. This world, in their introduction to this world, whether it was their parents tried to abort them, their parents abandoned them, their parents sexually abused them, but God was their father. And only two of them were baptized at the time when they could remember. One was 11 and one was 6, but I had them all renew their baptism. In order to be baptized, if you're a member of the church, or if you're not a Catholic, the baptism ritual for the Catholics is this. Do you renounce Satan? That's a very important introduction that every person who's going to be baptized must renounce the devil. Do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? And they really shouted that out. I had them all renew that. Rejection of Satan, his works, his empty promises. Therefore, every one of us can be tempted to sin. That's the work of Satan, sin, to destroy that divine life that we're being invited to. Now their faith, and every Catholic and every Christian, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Now, in Paul's letter, we're going to talk about today, God is the creator of all things. God is the one who made everything. God is the power and the force of everyone and everything. You have been made by God. This universe has been made by God. And he created it, and he has charge of it. There is no other. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God who created the universe, when we went awry, sent his son Jesus Christ into the world? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, suffered, died, and was buried, rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven? Do you believe that? And that is to be answered to that. You have to answer that. Do you believe that that's who Jesus is? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church? Now, if you're a member of the church, do you believe that it's the Holy Spirit through water and the baptism who made you a member of that church? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Do you believe that the saints in heaven, the people on earth, and those in purgatory all belong to the body of Christ with you? Do you believe that? Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? That's what our faith is. And so when they all answered to that, each of them responding in faith, then I prayed over them. This was my first prayer, and it was the first exorcism. Let us pray. O God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, you appeared on Mount Sinai to your servant Moses. You led the children of Abraham out of Egypt, graciously appointed an angel to guard them day and night. We ask you, Lord, to see and send your holy angel from heaven to guard in the same way your servant. And then I name their names again, that these servants will be guarded and to lead them to the fullness of everlasting life. God is their father. God has adopted them. And God sends his angel to each one of them to bring them to their eternal life. Therefore, accursed devil, acknowledge your condemnation and pay homage to the living and true God. Pay homage to Jesus Christ, his Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and depart from this servant. And I would name them, each one. For Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, has called him or her to his holy grace and to the font of baptism. Accursed devil, never dare to desecrate the sign of the cross, which we now trace upon this servant of God and their forehead, through the same Christ our Lord, who is to come to judge the living and the dead and the world by fire. Amen. That power of Jesus over that particular soul. You see, I was seeing what our Lord was talking about here in these 19 and in these parents. I was seeing the kingdom of God. How do you notice what the kingdom of God is? These children that are adopted by the Father here on earth. I believe that many times in the church, we have people who don't know what those people experienced and what I experienced in watching them. You see, the kingdom of God is different than the church. When I go to Mass, a lot of times, there might be 1,000 people there. Are they all members of the kingdom of God, or are they all at different stages interiorly? If you don't have your interiority with God, who is your Father, with Jesus, who is in you, and with the Holy Spirit, who has gathered us, this one family, they could look at each other, black and white, yellow, whatever they were, and they see brothers and sisters. The kingdom of God is here on earth, and it's sometimes very unnoticed. Whereas the visible church, the exterior part, when you belong to the church, you belong to the Holy Spirit. Listen what Paul, this magnificent teaching today that Paul is going to give us on this event that I had with these 19 children. The kingdom of God, Jesus is talking about, and Paul is talking about grace. Paul is talking about grace that has been sent by the Holy Spirit into the world. What Paul is talking about is that the Holy Spirit was sent from God, and this is in the 8th chapter, and this marvelous teaching, beginning with the 18th verse. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eagerness and expectation the revelation of the children of God. All of creation, the moon, the sun, the stars, all of creation is awaiting the redemption and the glory of God. Every 6 billion people on this earth made by God is awaiting the glory of God. That's the vision of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. It's an interiority. Do you see that within yourself? Listen again. I consider the sufferings of this present time as nothing in comparison with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eagerness and expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility. These children, abused, abandoned, sexually beaten, all the kinds of things that they are, we are suffering here, but with hope, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from the slavery to corruption and share in the glory and the glorious freedom of the children of God. This is the family of God. This is what Jesus is talking about. If you are a member of the kingdom of God, you wait with great expectation, with great hope. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. All of creation, earthquakes, tsunamis, all the kind of tornadoes and the sufferings, all of creation. Its creation wasn't meant to be destructive. All of creation, of God's plan, eventually in the kingdom of God, is going to be a kingdom of peace, even in this world. That's what Paul is talking about. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, for in hope we were saved. If you have cancer, if you have whatever disease or brokenness, everything is going to be, in the kingdom of God, healed. Now, hope that sees for itself is not hope. For we hope for what we do not see. That's our destiny, glory. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. Every child of God today, every one of us, is groaning. And is now the interiority is what describes the kingdom of God. How marvelous it is, you know, as we approach this time that we're going to celebrate All Saints Day. Everyone who hears me, whatever your religious background, a Muslim, a Hindu, whatever, a Catholic, in the interiority of your soul, there is the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit was sent to every human being. Not only that, but if you look at creation around you, supposing you're in South America or on the other side of the hemisphere, summer and spring is coming there. Suppose you're in the west, the northern hemisphere. Winter is coming here. But these seasons come and go. But our hope is always that all of this creation, whether it's being born or whether it's dying, whatever, wherever you are in this world, God is going to bring about all of mankind to his kingdom. The kingdom of God as Jesus said, is like a little mustard seed. Where is it? It's in the depths of your heart. It's your faith. It's your hope. It's your love. It's the smallest of all seeds. The kingdom of God is like yeast plunged into the dough. You don't see it, but it's having an effect. The kingdom of God is different than anything. It's that God, Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit and the interior work of that Spirit. Paul is describing it as kind of a groaning of all creation. He even compares it in nature to labor pains. You know, do you think that the northern the icebergs are melting? Whatever that is, it's groaning. It's all in the power and under the hand of God. Do not be afraid. What we need today is that faith, that is hope, and that is that trust in God. If you're a member of the kingdom of God, you live in peace here on earth. And when you pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in me as it is in heaven." It may be as small as a mustard seed. It may be as unnoticed as yeast plunged into the measures of dough. But all around you, you are going to radiate, and you are going to change the environment of your family, of your parish, of your diocese, of the world. What tremendous hope there is. This 29th day of October, as we prepare for All Saints, be a saint. Be a member of the kingdom of God. Your holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. Although you may not be baptized, you are a member of the kingdom. And although you may be in the church, you may not be a member of the kingdom if you don't have this interior spirit of union with the Holy Spirit that unites you with Jesus. You see, even those outside the church are being united with Jesus, even though they have not been formally baptized. And that's the truth. That's the teaching of the church, that ever since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has come into the world, and the plan of God for all of the members of our family, all of them. I saw yesterday the most magnificent blessing, that here God reaching out to Russia, to children who were there and abandoned and now brought into his kingdom. I saw kids that have been just thrown away in Mexico, and then just coming together and to look at their faces and to see the family, and to see this family that is Christian and that is Catholic and that is the kingdom, the hope. And this is really what I believe our Holy Father has been talking about, reaching out to the poorest of the poor. This is what made Mother Teresa so well loved in the whole world, the poorest of the poor. And that's really what makes us all. We can each do it in where we are. When I am united to Jesus in the deepest part of my being, in my interior, that's where the kingdom of God is.
Monsignor?
Yes?
In the beginning, as you spoke so beautifully about this family, you mentioned that someone had brought to them someone to pray with them.
Yes.
And that caused a great deal, at the very least, havoc, if not, you know, damage. And that's something that a lot of us aren't aware of. We think prayer, especially with others, can be, how can it be anything but edifying?
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. They first asked this priest, should they allow her in? It was a witch. And they were very disappointed. And so I would talk to you parents about this. I would talk to you priests about this. Not everyone who says, I want to pray, should be invited or allowed to come in. You know, what confusion that was. And there's a magnificent teaching in the Bible. It's in Ezekiel. You must be like the watchman on the tower. And Jesus said, every one of you who are shepherds and have a flock, you can't let the wolf into the sheepfold. And he is who is a hireling. It runs away when the wolf is coming. You have to be extremely careful. Saint Teresa of Avila, she was one of 15 children. She said their whole family history, their father was a very big guardian about who they let in. I think you were the one who told me this story, mm-hmm. except one. And that one was a relative and destroyed the family's growth and holiness for years. You have to be very careful who you let into the sheepfold. So, yes, it's not everyone that wants to come on and pray. Thank you for pointing that out. And that's true. That came out later in my conversation with the parents.
And I'm sure the woman didn't come in saying, hi, I'm a witch. I mean, we just,
oh, no.
You know. So it's one of those things that you just have to really be, well, discerning. You have to really ask the Father, don't you?
And, you know, the way she went about it, where she prayed with them, the prayers that she offered, she said, oh, don't tell your parents that I did this or that. You know, just secretive, underhanded, divisive, and it bore terrible fruit.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, any final thoughts for this day, Monsignor?
Well, I believe that as you approach the feast of All Saints and All Souls, that we become deeper and deeper involved. If you're a Christian, or if you're not, to investigate more deeply the scriptures on the teaching of the kingdom of God. If you're being drawn, you know, to search more deeply in your interiority, if you yourself are drawn, if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, whatever, that you follow more deeply the spiritual rule of love. Love is that the greatest definition ever given for God is love. And so all the revelation, whatever your understanding of it is, that the Holy Spirit is a spirit, the Spirit of God is a spirit of love. And that Spirit has come into the world to gather the entire world into union with Jesus, who is love, who is the Son of God. He said one time, do you want to see the Father? Then look at me. I invite all of us to become more acquainted with the life of Jesus Christ, with the love of Jesus Christ. Carry, and what you might have is an image of him. I propose to you that you carry an image which we Catholics and many Baptists, I think, also have come up with, of the heart of Jesus being exposed. Behold the heart that has loved so much. That Jesus is in love with you. And he came down from heaven, suffered and died, and rose again, and wants to bring you and all of your family and all of your loved ones home to heaven. We are the kingdom of God on earth. God bless.